Hello, everybody. We're running just a couple of minutes late because the Verifiable Claims Working Group just voted for advancing the verifiable credentials specification as a proposed W3 standard. Congratulations, guys, and gals, and everybody else involved for pulling that off. Yay! So our agenda for the CCG call is here. What is the command that puts that at the top of some of these clients?
Some IRC bots just let you copy and paste it into the title thing. I forget what the... There is an IRC command for it. I forget what it is.
Yeah. That topic. Ah, okay. I see. Okay. Let's try to get through our IP notes. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, substantive contributions must be under the W3C intellectual property agreement of the credentials community. So to do that, you have to have a W3C account, and you have to go and agree to the W3C community contributor license. This is important to make sure that we can protect the intellectual property of any contributions to the specifications that we work on. These calls are recorded on audio, and everything will be archived at the W3C GitHub. We use IRC to cue the speakers during the call. All attendees, including myself, need to type present plus to make sure that they are listed in the final transcript as being present. During the call, we use IRC to add ourselves to queues and text notes and things of that nature. Please type Q+ when you're ready to speak, and we'll add you to the queue. Please be brief when you're called on so that other people can have a chance to chime in. Also, just in general, a note, this meeting is held by voice. We use IRC as a back channel. Please keep off-topic IRC comments in the main text to minimum. Feel free to use the /me if you like for things, but we really are going to be deleting stuff from the record that are not part of the voice conversation. If you want to speak, use Q+ and speak. Scribes. So we have our usual volunteer list, and I think all of the various groups have been kind of frustrated lately with the time that it's taking to select a scribe. A lot of the usual suspects have been doing it over and over again. I would really like to encourage a scribe today that maybe hasn't scribed before or hasn't scribed for a long time. I think this is going to be a pretty easy call to scribe. I hope it will. I don't think we're doing anything controversial or long. So is anybody want to scribe today? Calling for
Hi, this is
scribe.
Hi, this is Bill Barnhill.
Thank you.
I'm fine to scribe.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. So we every week do introductions and reintroductions. Is there anybody new to this call that hasn't introduced themselves? Just speak up or put in your name in queue. Yes, go ahead. William?
My name is Bill Claxton. I'm an American living in Singapore. My company, NextID, has developed an issuance application for verifiable credentials. I'll be traveling with my lead developer to the RWAT meeting in Prague, and we look forward to meeting everyone there.
Thank you very much for joining us, and welcome. Okay, we also do reintroductions. Is there anyone here that is safe from the BCWG that hasn't been present for a while in the credentials community that would like to say hi and Matt Stone, maybe you want to say? Reintroduce yourselves. Are you here? Okay. I'm going to try this a bit quick. Dimitri, how long has it been since you've reintroduced yourself? Anthony Ronning, are you here?
Okay. Sorry, this is Dimitri. It took me a second to unmute. So yeah, it's been a while. How's my sound quality?
Sounds great.
Great. So I'm Dimitri Zagadulin, developer, currently working with Digital Bazaar, active in the Verifiable Credentials group and this group on the DID spec, the DID resolution spec. I'm also an implementer of some resolver libraries in JavaScript and Node.js. And my background is in distributed databases and decentralized identity in general, such as Solid Project, various other decentralized identity projects at MIT, interest in secure data hubs and agents, and getting everybody to interoperate. So that's it.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you being a member of our community. Continuing to move forward on our agenda, the next item is our announcements. So in general, we try to keep all of our announcements up to date in this repo, but we're just going to quickly recap them. So we've been having dedicated DID calls on Thursdays at 1 to 2:30. However, I want to make sure that if there are anyone coming up that we're not going to be having, we should list them now. Marcus, are you here, or are you only not going to have one, say, at rebooting, or what's the schedule for the Thursday task force calls?
So we did have the call last week. We're also going to have it this week. We really decided on rebooting Web of Trust, but I imagine we will probably not have it that week. And
okay.
In general, we're now again focusing more on data resolution.
Okay. So it sounds like will not be a call on the 5th because a lot of the people will be at rebooting. There is going to be Vienna, digital identity meetup before rebooting. So if you're in Europe beforehand, you'd be welcome to come to that event. And then they're all going to take a train ride together to Prague for rebooting. Of course, rebooting itself is happening on the 3rd through 6th of September. And that's the URL for that. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that in the call, because there have been over 50 papers submitted. If you haven't registered yet, that's the registration URL. The weekend after rebooting is our two hackathons. The first hackathon, well, I'm not sure hackathon. This has actually become a conference. I think it was originally suggested to be a hackathon, ActivityPub, which is the W3C standard that Mastodon and some other sort of distributed Twitter clients is wanting to meet and discuss taking on DID technologies and other work from our communities, which would allow them to move from being distributed to potentially actually decentralized. One second. There's another group meeting which somehow didn't get into the email, and it should have been, which is that also the weekend after, the Holochain community is having a hackathon in the same space that rebooting is. And Holochain is sort of an interesting, alternative approach to some blockchain concepts. So you might be interested, and they're very interested in digital identity. And back to my proper agenda. And of course, TPAC will be in Fukuoka, Japan on September 16th through 20th. There is not going to be a CCG meetup there. However, I believe that the W3C DID working group will be official by then. We sure hope so. We have some time on the agenda for the DID working group. All of those calls are usually, all of those meetings are usually available via conference call for W3C members if people want to participate in those calls. Finally, in September, we have the My Data Conference, which is here, the TPAC location, yes. I'm sorry. It is.
Sorry about that. I wasn't able to catch that.
No. It's it's a strange name that I can't quite pronounce quickly. Fukuoka, Japan. Thank you. And Bill, at any time, feel free to speak up if you're missing something. You don't need to be in the queue.
Thanks. Can I get the dates too, please?
Sure. It's the 16th through 20th of September. And my data is the 25th through 27th. We basically use the W3C community repo for keeping progress on action items. We went through chairs, went over them, and we're going to skip them for today to allow for more time for our current agenda. So our next item is the WG Charter and Outreach. Manu, do you want to say, we gave the URLs and stuff last time, but do you want to say anything about progress on that or anything else that we can do?
Sure. The progress is, votes continue to come in. I can't share anything about how the voting process is going because that's W3C member confidential. Last week, if you check last week's minutes, there was a link to where you can send feedback. So W3C is requesting feedback from the general public. So this is a public commentary period on the DID working group charter. If you support it as an organization, but you're not a W3C member, please be sure to send an email in. Every little bit helps, and showing W3C that there is interest in this space is certainly what we should all be doing to make sure that working group is created. And that's pretty much it. One thing to mention. The vote closes at the end of this month, so we only have about 10 days left before the vote on the working group closes and W3C management makes a determination on whether or not there was enough interest to create that group.
Thank you very much. So our big topic for today is some commentary on the what it says in the agenda 30, but there are now 50 some odd topics. Oops, let me make sure there's nobody in the queue. Okay, so this is sort of a snapshot of what people are interested in the decentralized identity community. The way rebooting works is we ask people to submit before the event topic papers about their interests. And I think that the larger community of W3C community group members, credential community group members, should be aware of kind of what the broader community is interested in. So you will see in here lots of different topics. There are three on Identity Hub. There's one here on business and IoT, a number on DIDs and identity and what is the minimum identity, some on key management. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 papers related to various ideas on data hubs. Variety of things on security, verifiable credentials, et cetera. So a lot of, here's another major category, Web of Trust Alternatives. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, looking at peer-to-peer trust. I thought I'd give a little bit of time today for people to kind of think about this in aggregate as far as, are there particular papers that people that are members of this community want to point to, their own paper or someone else's paper that they thought was particularly interesting? And are we missing things? I mean, RWAT is a, is not a W3C event. Not everybody at RWAT comes to these meetings. What is missing from this topic list? And, and so I wanted to leave it open for those kinds of questions. So does anybody want to start with who maybe submitted a topic paper or wishes to comment on one they thought was very interesting? Or on the talk comment on the aggregate? Well, I mean, obviously, given our last meeting, I'm very interested in that there are, 8 or 9 papers on secure data hubs and such. I do worry a little bit that we don't have the larger community. I just saw a very interesting thing on the Bitcoin dev list about how to incentivize financially storage. And they came up with some lightning-like side channel stuff using no new token, just using Bitcoin and lightning-style contracts to incentivize storage. So, that's another aspect that I don't think any of these papers are covering. Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, I was mostly, it's a general question to the group. The ActivityPub conference is happening. That, I'm actually pretty excited to see how rebooting and the ActivityPub folks can come together and work on stuff. There's clearly I think the data hub stuff is going to be identity hub, secure data hubs, whatever, storage is going to be a big topic this time. But I'm kind of wondering about some of the other stuff, like the verifiable credential stuff and the DID stuff. I'm wondering if, you know, people are kind of going to move on from that, or I'm mostly interested, you know, of the people that are going, what are you hoping to see happen at rebooting, you know, maybe at the ActivityPub conference, and then maybe, you know, what ends up coming back into this group. So it's more of a, I'm interested in who's interested in seeing what progress at rebooting in other
Thank
venues.
You. Bill, go ahead.
Hi, the link that was posted was if you're not a member, is that a typo or is that actually okay for non-members to submit feedback on that?
If you're not a member.
Support.
So I had posted a link to if you want if the call for public support is out for the DID working group. If you are not a member, click respond to that email and you can send in public support for that group. So
Great.
That's anyone.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dimitri.
I wanted to add that. So one trend that I'm seeing with the rebooting papers and the overall community discussion in general is now that we have an initial data model spec for verifiable credentials, and now that we have a first draft of the DID data model. Now the focus is shifting on what do we do with them. So specifically, I'm a lot of how do we do authentication protocols with VCs or with DIDs?
Yeah. Yes, you know, we're now moving more to the implementation phase. So rebooting has had not only white papers, but also code projects, hackathon-like. So we're also anticipating that there'll be some people focused on implementing the BTCR proposals as code at the rebooting conference. And we invite others that maybe are, you know, not as, you know, are past the spec stage and want to do examples or, you know, test suites or proof of concepts to be, you know, working on these during rebooting. Jonathan, go ahead.
Yeah, I suppose just the next step in my mind is really the integration with other work, including the DIDCOM coming out of the Project Ares. You know, as I mentioned before, one of the challenges is the size of the verifiable credential does not necessarily fit within a QR code. So I think we have to have a creative way of exchanging, authenticating, and then exchanging. And what does that look like? Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it to Prague, though.
Yeah. Specifically to that question, I know when I've been working on some new wallet proposals for air gap communication, which allows for key management to be done on an air gap device rather than, you know, something that's on the wire or on Wi-Fi. And we found really good results using QR codes that animate about 1 or 2 seconds per animation. And, you know, we have found a very, very low powered credit card sized device with a camera and a little small display was quite readily able to keep up with interpreting those QR codes. So, you know, right now there's no official standard for how to rotate, animate QR codes. Maybe some of these types of things are worth our agenda as well. Also, if people are interested in the general category of you know, how do wallets communicate with networks, I'd love to see their Dave, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to mention that we're working on an emerging standard for doing animated QR codes, that for cramming a bunch of information into multiple QR codes. So the name we've given it is CRAM, QR Animation Method. And so we are working on a standard that does that, and that does transfer, that does animated QR codes and uses Luby transform codes to efficiently transmit them so that devices that are receiving them don't even need to keep up. They can look at the animation code, and the animation code can run for an indefinite period of time until that other device is able to read the information. So we're very interested in that and interested in collaborating on that, and we've got some working code already.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I know I have about 5 customers that are working on this air gap stuff. We would love to have something better. Kim, go ahead.
Yeah, we may have a couple of people from the Decentralized Identity Foundation at Rebooting. There's an interop effort going on there now, so basically to actually prove the interoperability of things like DIDs and verifiable credentials involving multiple wallets and things like that. So they're using the BTCR DID method as a baseline. But there's a lot of other things like, credential exchange protocols, things like that, that are coming up at different, at sort of the next stage of the prototype. So if anyone is interested in working on those kind of prototypes while at Rebooting, I'd be interested in participating as well.
Thank you. So I also wanted to, ask, how do we connect to these communities? So even though there's a large intersection of Rebooting and the W3C credentials community group, Rebooting is intended to cross lots of groups. Does anybody have any news on Solid and how we can, get them more involved in some of these cross-community discussions? What communities are we missing?
I can at least answer for the Solid question.
Kalia, let me go with Kalia first, but yes. Kalia, go ahead.
Sorry, hi. I actually was meaning to put myself in the queue before you asked that question, so I'm not answering the question you asked, which is important. I just wanted to speak to what I was hoping to get out of Rebooting Web of Trust, which is a much better understanding of the agent wallet hub landscape and sort of the, like, A, just what is in that landscape, and then looking ahead to the coming 6 months, sort of what's the plan to actually make sure we get interoperability between these different systems. So, super keen on figuring that out. And I also have another research project that's focused on kids and digital identity. And I will be curious to see if anyone at the event has any attention or focus on kids' digital identities relative to SSI.
Thank you. Dimitri.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about Solid briefly. So the Solid community is definitely becoming aware of this community group's work and the wider Rebooting Web of Trust and IAW community. So we had the Solid community manager, Mitzi Laszlo, attend the last Rebooting Web of Trust. This coming Rebooting, an alum of the Solid project, Kayota Ezike, who I think is on this call, is also going to be attending, as well as myself. In general, Solid has started a external outreach and interop mini working group And so the activities of that group has, of which I'm a part, have included an invite to rebooting, links to the sites that I'm working on, including secure data hubs, identity, Hyperledger Aries, and as well as, of course, verifiable credentials and DIDs. So increasing interest from the Solid community and Solid leadership at Inrupt in joining and participating this work here.
Thank you. So one of the things I noticed in the list of papers was, eight or nine on the Web of Trust, which is more around peer-to-peer. And I know I hope that we can have some more experimentation and definition there. I recently ran into one of our architectures in our community. Their implementation didn't allow for peer roles, meaning you could, their software, you could be an issuer, or their software, you could be a holder. But there was not the original intent, which I thought we were really clear on, which is that everybody can do all the roles. I'd love to have some more discussion about this type of thing and how we can, in our documents, in our specs, in our implementations, really not allow that to happen. Everybody ought to be able to, be an issuer. Everybody ought to be able to be a peer. It may not be central to some of the business models, but I'd like to see that there. Okay, the speaker queue is empty. Anybody else want to talk about other communities? IPFS is one I'm concerned is underrepresented in particular around the storage. What other communities are underrepresented?
This is Dimitri. I wanted to add, so there's a number of sort of wider non-standards body blockchain community storage projects that are out there that would be great to reach out to and to pull in. So for example, there is Made Safe, MAIDSAFE, which is a decentralized mesh storage protocol. There is Keep.io and a couple of Ethereum-based storage protocols. There's Protocols Labs, Filecoin, and there's Blockstack. So there are sort of fragmented communities out there that are doing at least the storage part in a peer-to-peer fashion.
Any thoughts on how, it isn't all about rebooting, but, part of the, whether or not rebooting is the venue for it, the point is there's a lot of different communities that are out there, each with sort of disparate approaches to these things, and, by allowing for some communication between the communities, hopefully we can, eliminate future difficulties as, we grow the broader agenda. Manu, go ahead.
There are two communities that we haven't mentioned yet. One of them is the Secure Scuttlebutt community. I know that maybe Ryan has some communication with them, but I mean, it's interesting, and I don't know how active the project is these days. The other one is the DAT. Community, but I can't find a link to them. If somebody knows what their link that file protocol. We've also here we go DAT as well. So just having we spoke with DAT a while ago, and It didn't really go anywhere. And the same thing, I've never had a discussion with the Secure Scuttlebutt community, but I mean, you know, had we thought in advance, we would have sent these folks an invite to come and just meet up at Rebooting or maybe IIW. So just some thoughts there. I was wondering if from the DWeb, I know a number of you went to the DWeb meetup. I'm wondering if there were any folks there that seemed like we should, you know, we're not talking and we should. That's it.
Thank you. Kalia, go ahead.
So I have direct contact with especially that. I work for Wireline, and Wireline has, I believe, hired Carissa, who's a leader in the DAT community. So she and I are supposed to be talking soon. And I met Secure Scuttlebutt folks at DWeb. They unfortunately were subject to a very hard sell by Daniel Buchner and were completely turned off. I hopefully managed to turn that around so they're at least interested in exploring talking to us. But I think independent communities very focused on the independence of people need to be appropriately culturally approached in learning about what we have and us learning about them and not hard selling.
Yeah, I do know that some of this, there was at least one Secure Scuttlebutt person who was part of the social identifier recovery paper from Rebooting 8 in Barcelona. So I'll reach out to him to find out with you know what the what he thought of Rebooting, but they did finish the paper. Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, just to echo what Kalia was saying, I think we should also be pretty conscious about what our strategy is to engage these other communities. So, and this is just, you know, my opinion, it shouldn't be a join us, use what we're doing, or we're not interested in you. That should not be the approach. I think rather it's a let's get together and learn something from each other. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the ActivityPub and Rebooting communities engage, because I think, you know, both communities can learn a lot from each other, but they don't overlap. They've got kind of different missions and different purposes. So the hope is that, you know, as a community, either if you're in the AP community or you're in the Rebooting, you know, or the IAW or whatever diff community, that, you know, we spend more time listening than, you know, talking about what we can kind of bring into the mix. So anyway, just some thoughts. I think we should be pretty conscious at the upcoming Rebooting about how we engage with the AP folks. The ActivityPub folks, and then, you know, as we try to reach into those communities, maybe what we should do is do something that looks more like a field trip to their communities rather than kind of inviting them into this one and having them present in this one. Just some thoughts.
Thank you. I think that's an important point, and other people have, you know, confirmed it. I mean, I have had somebody, I was at a meeting recently and a DIP member said, oh, you know, Rebooting is a W3C thing. And I think they got that because there's a lot of crossover between the leadership and membership of W3C community and Rebooting. Rebooting is not a standards organization. It is not many things there should not go into the W3C. Instead, it is much more of let's see what we can do together. So, puzzle through how to be the join us, be a not the right paradigm, but, you know, let's see what we do together. How can we collaborate? How can we learn from each other? Be the paradigm. I also like that term field trip that you used, field trip into each other's communities. I think that's a good analogy. Kalia, go ahead.
I think one of the things I'd like to name is that there is a difference between building verifiable credential tool systems wallets for the existing paradigm of existing institutions, which we may call quote unquote centralized, like, and how do decentralized networks leverage our tools? And I think it's one of the things I've had challenges with Wireline is like, what's the wallet for a decentralized network look like? And how is it different than figuring out how people board airplanes with verifiable credentials? So I think that's also potentially a line of inquiry. Somebody's asking me to repeat that.
Describe.
What do you want me to repeat? What do you
sorry,
want me to repeat?
Sorry about that, Kalia. I didn't catch the first part of what you said.
I said that there's a difference between much of the focus of our, of at least my perception of much of the work is focused on, like, how do you support people getting on airplanes with all the documents they need in a verifiable credential format, for example, as just a use case. It's like existing institutions, existing use cases, existing credentials that are in your physical wallet showing up in a digital wallet. That's a different set of problems than Scuttlebutt or a community I work with, Wireline or Holochain, which is a decentralized network, right? So what do wallets look like for actually decentralized networks as opposed to our existing universe of institutions using quote-unquote decentralized credentials for their existing business processes? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually had an interest. I have a meeting later today. I don't know if people know what BGP is, but it's one of the underlying deep, dark parts of the internet of, you know, how you know, everything interconnects and how packets are exchanged. And they've had for over a decade something called Secure DNS and other proposals about how to secure BGP routes, and they've never been implemented properly. And it's one of the biggest vulnerabilities on the internet right now. What I'm realizing after talking with some of the people, the reason why the current standards that have been, you know, written for them aren't being adopted is, in fact, networks are peers, and they don't want to have a centralized authority define, you know, what the peering trust relationships are. But that's all they know. It's like, you know, they don't know that there might be alternative ways of doing things than certificate authorities. So I'm kind of reaching out to them to say, hey, there are some interesting cryptographic peer technologies emerging. Would this help you solve your security problem? I wonder how many other communities that are out there, really want this already, but don't know they want it. Okay, any other sort of broader conversation? It is appropriate to sort of say maybe at this point, what kinds of things do we want to bring into the W3C versus going to, more implementation-oriented groups or like DIF? How do these different groups coordinate? Not everything needs the four-year process to become, you know, a W3C international standard. I think 4 years is probably the fastest you can do it. I don't know that we have to do that on things. But where is it appropriate for a two-year for a CHCG document or a four-year for a working group document? What are the kinds of things we shouldn't be doing? Jonathan, go ahead.
I suppose one thing that came to light for me recently is in the Apple developer, when you submit your cryptographic library, you actually have to register. And they only support certain types of encryption and or signature suites natively in Apple. So I think it's a more of a policy and or struggle to get acceptance, to get mass adoption, and that might be a barrier in the implementation.
Yeah, I've actually run into this myself. So right now, a lot of groups rely on the IETF for some of these things, and if it's not defined by the IETF, they don't accept it. But the IETF went through a major war, starting about a decade ago and not really kind of resolved until about 4 or 5 years ago, of adding 25519 versus the government developed protocols. And they're really reluctant to add new things there. And in particular, SECP, which is used by Ethereum, Bitcoin, and a large part of the blockchain industry, nothing that uses SECP currently is allowed as a standard in the IETF. And there's resistance to doing so, although I've heard that maybe they'll allow it in JWTs. How do we get over those problems where, you know, a big company, Google, Apple, a government organization says, oh, no, it has to be, a government standard algorithm. How do we get past that? And can we help? Anybody else? Actually, here is a talk I did on at IETF. At the CFRG on why they should consider SECP in the CFRG, and quite notably, Bernstein, who is the creator of 25519, was in the room and he had no objections. And I don't think he's going to stand up and say, "Yes, I support this, and I'll put energy into that." But there was. Sort of tacit, yes, this ought to be allowed. Okay. I'm trying to find our agenda again. The rest of our agenda is, Kim, did you want to, we'll finish with Dave and then we'll go to Kim and her BTCR hackathon report.
Right. I just wanted to mention that ED25519 is supposedly going to be in the next FIPS standard that comes out. So that is something to consider.
Yeah. If people are interested in, the pros and cons, one of the challenges with ED25519 is that in multi-sig situations, there are, interesting challenges with the Bernstein curves. There are alternative libraries like Ristretto that implement not quite standard 25519 that address these problems. But as a community that is trying to look into things that include multi-signatures and aggregate signatures and other different types of things, we do need to be aware that 25519 has its limitations. But we should support them. Kim, do you want to close us up to talk about BTCR hackathon and our results?
Yes, I'll paste in a link, which has the final report. At the base of that, the BTCR hackathon 2019 page, that has more information about what we were trying to solve as part of the hackathon, what our daily reports are. The link that I included just now is the final report. So I'll talk about, there's a new addition down there. So I'll talk about the accomplishments and then talk about the struggles and sort of, next steps that we see. So as usual, when we have a BTCR hackathon, we do a lot of clarifications of expected behavior. So this was good because we did things like, we noticed that we weren't granting verifiable credential signing as a default capability. And then things like the BIP 136, the BIP that describes how you encode transactions in this way that we use for BTCR. It allows ambiguous forms that we don't want to allow in BTCR. So, basically things like that result is, someone's expecting this versus that. So we realize, oh, this might actually be confusing for implementers or even a security concern. So, we actually made sure to harden such expectations in the specification.
Mind if I clarify on that, because it may be applicable to other people. We had a situation where different DID values, meaning the thing passed DID BTCR, represented the same thing, because they were basically two different methods of pointing to the same object. And we decided that, it was sort of a special case, and we decided to eliminate that special case, that basically we always used one over the other. And that might apply to other people in their thinking about stuff. Go ahead.
Actually, there was an unfortunate collision. Dave was correcting SIPs, not BIPs. So I tried to, Dave, I'll catch that in a minute, clean up. So next what we had was, so we worked on some tooling, and someone did a major uplift of the BTCR Playground UI. They based it on a Coinbin wallet, so that gave some more functionality. So that's the BTCR Playground. It's been updated. There is an Electron demo of a BTCR wallet, so that's been updated. This one maybe seems indirect. It was part of an incremental process to get BTCR Golang service running. So someone got Bitcoin D node running on Linode and documented that. So there's follow-up work to do that. And another thing is, because this is really volunteer run and our efforts have been sprawled out, we consolidated the BTCR references so that it's easier to figure out what's the latest version of each thing, and we have a single place for that now. The last thing that's not mentioned here that I need to add is that the BTCR DIB method is being used in the Decentralized Identity Foundation hackathon for the issuer. And so Ori Steele worked on some prototypes and claims issuance for that, including this sort of emerging approach that's being developed in Decentralized Identity Foundation, which is well-known URIs for DIBs. I'll just put in a link to that. It's too much to get into right now, but I'll have some documentation about that in the BTCR report out. Okay, so moving on to the sort of more, oh, actually, let me jump down to this new thing that Joe added. So he added a BTCR tutorial in Saturn. So this is meant to be more like a, you know, developer toolkit, show you the code that's happening behind the scenes. It's inspired by Jimmy Song's Bitcoin tutorials. Okay, so let me move through the struggles. We only have 3 minutes left. So we found that we were having problems even constructing basic knows, like someone knows someone else claim and things like, you know, I know this person and I vouch that they're, you know, their did is this as of this moment, things like that. So that's all documented in an issue. I think that, yeah, with the verifiable credential signing tooling, you know, there were just basically we found that it was more of a struggle to do sort of the basic things than we expected. Ongoing, or actually I think that this was discussed last week in the DID call, separate calls, is what belongs as DID metadata versus DID resolution metadata. So for BTCR, we have this thing called a Satoshi audit trail that sort of gives more metadata. So that's still an open issue. We're still trying to figure out naming. We need to be more concise or precise in our naming. And then some other things around, you know, just goals for the hackathon. We really want, there's a lot of value in having a server-side service stood up versus these client-side APIs that we're using in a lot of the playgrounds. So that BTCD node, that was partially in service of getting that working. So those are the highlights. There will be more follow-up both at rebooting and some other efforts. Any questions about that? Or, Joe, Christopher, anyone else who's there, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, the only thing I had to add was that the Satoshi audit trail observations ultimately have impact on the design of resolvers, and we had we brought that discussion not necessarily with good answers, but we brought that discussion to the BID task force meeting where they talked about BID resolvers last Thursday, and there was some good discussions last week. So that was a useful learning, and I encourage you that, you know, as you're thinking about the proofs of using the proofs that your blockchain can present, whether or not it's a timestamp or, you know, the proof of your BID document being, you know, confirmed and things of that nature, that some of that architecture doesn't really go in the BID document. It goes into these other things. And right now, every blockchain is different. So there may need to be some work on making some of that common. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to note the challenges we had with data modeling and trying to map that to the JSON-LD approach to representing RDF semantics. We had challenged with the nose, you know, how do you set up the atomic unit of the web of trust that someone knows someone? And I think it speaks to a larger issue that folks are not going to know how to model. So we sort of need to figure that out, because there's both the question of how do you model a given statement in RDF, and then how do you map it into JSON-LD? And it's fairly arcane. I think we stumbled over that quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's 10 o'clock. Thank you, everybody. We will be meeting next week. However, we will not be meeting on the 3rd of September because of rebooting. So just give everybody who's not participating in rebooting, you get a little a day off. But we will be meeting next week. Thank you, everybody.
Cheers.
Thanks. Take care.